I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We're celebrating 25 years in business and just entering our 12th year of doing open lines. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our new 2020 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics and publications on our event tab. Also, with all the things going on, I hope everybody's well and safe. There's a lot of questions as to different topics within business. We've covered almost every topic you can imagine in our publication under the publication tab, and you can just put in the topic and it will pop up, or for open line programs too. We also have our third book, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, now available, and we also offer skills testing in 360s, which has been a huge hit with our clients, and we have some fun remote lunchtime workshops, which are remote, so everybody can participate. Stress and time management topics, leadership, mentoring workshops. Our topic today is part of our special edition open line program, staying focused on the right things during a pandemic. My name is Dana Baroka. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. We have just a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your business. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and for staff development and team building, and assist companies with a variety of services, including skills testing, as I mentioned, 360s, interpersonal coaching, stress and time management workshops, and much, much more. We also have a program that you'll want to consider for your employees, especially now during these troubled times. It's called our Wellness Assistance Program. We call it WAP, Wellness Assistance Program, and there's no monthly fees to it. It's like an EAP, but again, there's no monthly cost to it. So if you want more information, just let us know. It will provide the support that is needed in today's times through counseling and a variety of other programs, such as remote wellness support programs. We also have an office in Taiwan and the UK, so if you have an operation in Asia or Europe and would like to get leadership coaching for them or providing ideas of how to interact with a U.S.-based company, just let us know. We get feedback from our clients both domestically and globally for these various topics, and that's how this one came up, and along with all of our other ones. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you're going to see an area with a chat box. You can send in questions along the way. We're also going to open up our the line at the end of the program so you can talk directly with Paul Walker. Now I get to the fun part. I get to welcome our guest, who is a close friend, business colleague, who's a wonderful human being, and knows his stuff. Paul David Walker is CEO and founder of Genius Stone Partners and works with domestic and international companies to improve their bottom line today and planning for the future. Paul is one of the few CEO coaches who has worked with numerous Fortune 500 CEOs and their key staff members for over 25 years, along with many mid-cap organizations. Some of the organizations that Paul has worked with include Starkist Foods, Vaughn's Grocery Stores, New York Life, Anne Klein, Rockwell International, countless manufacturing, global utilities, service, nonprofits, and various consulting organizations. Paul is the author of the best-selling book, Unleashing Genius. If you don't have that book, I'd highly recommend you get it. It's called Unleashing Genius, along with his new book. It's called Invent Your Future, Seven Imperatives for a 21st Century. Let me repeat that again. Invent Your Future, Seven Imperatives for a 21st Century. I feel so privileged to have Paul with us today to address the issues that we're facing at this moment. Also, I want to mention that next week we have another special edition open line. It's called Supervising a Remote Workforce, and we'll be sending out invites for that. So, Paul, welcome back to Open Line as always, and we're so grateful to have you.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. It's great. So I'm going to start by...
Your phone is cutting out just a little bit. I want to make sure everybody hears every golden nugget that you have to share.
Yeah. Okay. Is that better?
That's much better. Much better.
Oh, okay. I'm from England originally, came here on the Queen Mary, and I want to start with, during World War II, Winston Churchill said, to all well known, "We will never surrender." And Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "Fear is the only problem," right? So that's what we want to start with. This pandemic is pretty serious, but we can't surrender. We can't give up on our businesses, on our lives. We have to really stay focused and put our fears aside. And, of course, that's what happened in World War II, and it was even worse than this. So people put aside their fears and pulled together and did what it took to succeed, and I think some of our manufacturers now are going to step in on that and help making masks and vents and so on. So the other thing I want to say is, you know, take care of yourself and your family. Be careful. You don't want to catch this. You don't want to be quarantined outside of what we're quarantined right now. But, you know, just take care of your family. It's a great time to, you love your family, take care of them, and your business team. You know, keep them close, even though it may be virtual. You should probably talk to them more frequently than you have in the past. So keep everybody focused and clear. Right. Now, the actions that we're in together to help each other, right? You know, it's coming all the time. We are in this together. Let's help each other, right? So, but what can we do? How can we shift the way we interact with customers and each other into a virtual process? You know, we have this on the phone, but a number of my clients, like later today, I have a Zoom call with three of my clients. We're discussing, you know, how to improve the teamwork. And last week, I had another Zoom call with a group that I'm involved with. And, you know, it wasn't, it's not in person, but it's sure not bad. You see people's faces. You see their nonverbals. One of the advantages of Zoom is only one person can talk at a time, which oftentimes is a problem in meetings. You know, everyone wants to get their word in. So I think that's really key. Keep in touch, communicate, use Zoom or whatever, you know, video process you have to hold the team together. Now, we have a situation here that's going to end up in a recession. And it's already really started. We got, was it 3.5 million unemployed in the last count? And I've been through this recession before, a recession like it. And one of the things we did, and I highly recommend this, is we built deep relationships with our clients. Basically, we had all the call center people, customer service people, and sales people have make the following agreement with their clients. You know, it's like during a deep recession, you need to build relationships now, and hopefully you've been doing it all along, because that relationship that you build will make you the choice. Here's what happened. It was an aerospace company. We did this just before the recession started and during the recession, and our customer service people, our sales people, the CEO, always said, you know, we're in this together, and this is going to be tricky. It's going to be difficult, but we're on your side. We're going to help you. We're willing to do whatever it takes to make you successful. And just ask the question almost on every call. So what can we do to help? How can we help you? How can we make your business better? Now, the result of that is that their competitors, their main competitor, lost 50% of their business. 50%. Our client lost between 15 and 20% because of the strong relationships. They became the default setting. All right, if we're going to work with anybody, we're going to work with these people because they believe in us and they're willing to do whatever it takes to help us survive the recession because they're in it too. So we need to be a team to really look at what we can do together, you know, to build a business, build our mutual businesses, and keep everything focused. It's the relationship. And it's always the relationship. But during a recession, it's even more important. And what we did is come up with ideas to help them through the recession, through the loss, if they lost 10 or 15% of their business. How do you fill in that time? What do you do with that? And how do you find other business to keep your company going at the level you're used to? So that's the first thing. Secondly, and we're doing it now, and is use technology. Technology is incredible now. Zoom is, I don't know if you've ever used Zoom, but it's the best one of these online video conferencing processes. You can put a PowerPoint up so everybody can see it. You can have sort of an unlimited amount of people on the call, and you're able to keep in contact with them. You're able to discuss strategies, mutual strategies to improve their business and to improve your business. And so I find it to be a really good tool. Matter of fact, one of the important things in a meeting, if you're a meeting facilitator, is to notice people's nonverbals, right? But when someone's on the screen, you know, 50 inches high, you can see their face and you can see all the nonverbals. They might be saying yes, but they might be meaning no. So really work on your technology so that you can have a seamless interaction, seamless relationship with your customers. It's and Zoom to me is the best one, so you can try it. Now, focusing on the pandemic, right? So another thing that's really important to do is to look for unrealized opportunities that the pandemic creates in your marketplace. I think that there's always opportunities that come when the economy starts to slow down, when people start to panic. And I think that, again, going back to relationship, one of the great opportunities is we're here for you. We're going to do whatever it takes to support you. Sometimes that might mean reducing prices, but better to reduce prices than to, you know, lose a customer who can't afford it. Find ways to help them understand how they can perform and look for opportunities. And when there's a recession, which this is, the pandemic's causing it, but basically we're in a recession, the opportunities are different. And, you know, one of them is obviously helping your client reduce travel expenses by using Zoom. I mean, that's a big one. And also sort of teaching them how to reach out to their clients, not just on the phone, but in person on a Zoom process or Skype, or there are other ones. I just prefer that Zoom. Now, you need to look at, you know, once you find these unrealized opportunities, then how do we create a market that can help in these circumstances? How do we create a brand in the marketplace that people will go to you now that, you know, things are changing? And, you know, I, like most of you, I read the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times and all of that. And it's rare that the financial people who invest in Wall Street are saying, you know, things are going to get bad. And that's what they're saying now. That means they're going to be worse than what they're saying. They're always overly optimistic because they want you to stay in the market. And they want you to trade and so on. So the whole notion of looking for a marketplace that is unserved and can be served in a different way is really a great opportunity. One said to me, he said, you know, Paul, it's just great having you to talk to about these things. It's hard for my CEOs to, you know, go to their team and share their insecurities or share what they fear might happen. So they're really looking to have somebody to talk to confidentially. So, you know, I'm a consultant, and when you talk to me, it's confidential, and I've been doing this for 35 years now, working with CEOs and their teams, helping them grow their business. And, man, there's a lot of things people can do when things slow down, taking advantage of competitive weaknesses. And to me, in a recession, and it's coming, we're in it, that is the most powerful thing you can do. Understand your competitors' limitations, their weaknesses, and make sure you offer just the opposite. Now, I don't recommend talking badly about your competitors. That's not effective. What I do recommend is understanding their limitations and talking about yourself in a way that will see you filling that gap that other competitors have in terms of their limitations. So it takes a little research, takes asking a lot of questions, you know. One of the things we had our customer service people do is, you know, at the end of every call, the beginning of every call, okay, at the beginning, we know there's some issues. Here's the solutions. But then what can we do to help you? What can we do to bring mutual support? And really get them thinking about it. And you should think about it as well. You know, how do you, you know, maintain a market? Now, if you're in a restaurant business, there's not much to do because they're all closed. But most businesses are not like restaurants and travel and cruise lines and airlines. But there's some opportunities there. I would suggest, and one of the things I'm starting with my clients is, look, we're doing these Zoom calls, we're doing these conference calls instead of me flying to Boston and all of your people flying around. Let's keep track of all the money we are saving that's going to improve our margin because of the lack of travel. Let's keep track of it. Let's make a real point, if you're a public company especially, and saying, look, you know, yes, this is affecting our business, but it's also causing us to reduce our expenses because we're not traveling, we're not staying in hotels, we're not doing big conferences in remote areas. We're saving money because of the recession. And you know, that's going to go straight to the bottom line and particularly to your margins as you add that up. You want to do things that inspire people, make them feel good, make them feel better. And this is one way to do it. Look how much money we're saving. And you know what? I don't think it's reduced our effectiveness one bit because we're able to talk to each other, see each other. And I would suggest that, you know, given, let's say I'm going to meet with my client or my client's coming to meet with me from Boston. Look at the time, the airfare, the time they spent traveling back and forth, time I spend traveling back and forth. I have to include that in my billing, right? That's my time. I sell my time, and most consultants do. But your time as a, you know, member of a team is also valuable. So that's one area that is really valuable. And I think over time, this will become a default setting. Why get on a plane when you can call somebody and see them in person? Now, you can't take them to dinner and all of that. But I think it will become a trend. I think it will become more of a way of doing business, doing it virtually, as opposed to everybody having to sort of be there in person.
Paul, now, we have a question that came in. How do people, what would you suggest to keep staff members that are working from home focused and not getting caught up in the fear?
Yeah, well, talk to them about it start with. But keep them busy with things that will be inventing the future of their career and of the company. Keep them, I mean, don't spend a lot of time whining about the recession or the coronavirus. Have an agenda that is positive, that is forward-looking, and again, looking for ways to create strategic advantage. I think people will, if they're busy, you know, doing things, that will have two advantages. One, it'll move them off their fear. They're not going to have time for it. And two, you know, they're going to be inclined to really do things to impact the success of the company, knowing layoffs could be coming. So, you know, just keep them building the business. Keep them building the future. Keep them thinking about what we can do. This is not going to last forever, at least the pandemic, but the recession will probably carry on for a year or two. The whole discussion about a V-shaped recovery is rubbish. It's not going to be V-shaped. It's going to take a while to recover from all of this. So
Paul, for the people that are working from home then, is it so it's best to have a team meeting for brainstorming to give people, so people have the ideas of what to do and help guide them?
I think so. I think that, you know, having regular, if people are working from home, you want to have your staff on Zoom or on a verbal conference call at least weekly. How are you doing? Check in with them. Have them report some of their successes. Keep track of, you know, all the things that you would normally keep track of because you see them every day, but you need to sort of be there. And if you're having that conference call with your direct reports, and insist that your direct reports do the same thing, to stay connected, to find solutions, and to feel like they're part of something. I mean, people get lonely, particularly if they're single and they're home alone. You know, you got to give them some social time. And if you play it right, the social time that you have online, on a video call or on a regular call, people are going to actually look forward to it. You know, meetings are known to be really bad, and go on, be unfocused. If you can have focus meetings on inventing the future of the company, it's going to keep people away from the fear, because there are always opportunities, no matter what happens, no matter how the economy turns around. Chances are there's a way for you to take advantage of it going forward. So that'll be my answer.
Paul, somebody else just made a comment. They attended an open line a couple years ago, and you did a talk on meditation for managers and supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
So the topic is staying focused on the right things during a pandemic. Many of the managers or CEOs that are on the call today, their minds are probably spinning. So could you take a few minutes and talk about how the senior people can stay focused through meditation or some other means?
Sure. I mean, meditation, the purpose of meditation is to bring yourself into the present moment versus worrying about things that occurred in the past or worrying about what might happen in the future. And I think that even with a team, with a group, you know, you can lead people through what's called a guided meditation. You know, just have people come into the present moment and then make some suggestions about things they can do. When we had the big consulting firm, Sendelaney Leadership, the second module we did in our strategic retreats was called Be Here Now. And we teach our clients, the CEO and the executive team and everybody, how to meditate, how to quiet their mind and be present. For three reasons. One, it's really good for your health. Two, being present is great for your family and your relationships with them. And three, of course, it's really good for your relationships with the people on your team. But I think I found once you put aside all the clutter of the thinking that's going on in your head, you know, that's when solutions come to you. I mean, I'm a writer, and sometimes I'll get stuck, you know, okay, what am I going to write next in this thing? And I'll just slow down. I'll sit out on the porch, watch the birds in the garden, follow my breath, close my eyes, and just calm down. With no objective, just calm down. Get into the moment. And ideas will pop into your head. It's like an idea is not going to pop into your head if it's full of thoughts, particularly fearful thoughts. There's no room, right? It's like a glass of water that's full. You can't get any more water in there. But if you can empty your mind of these pesky thoughts, and they tend to be circular, particularly with bad news ahead, you know, the virus, the pending recession, you know, your mind's going to be full of all kinds of unproductive, negative thoughts. And you just need to get rid of them. And meditation is a great way to do that. It's practice. So it's when I studied for a period of time, you know, with a Zen Buddhist priest, and we would go up to the place in the mountains where they had their center, and they called it a dojo. But we would meditate, and they would teach us to meditate, and we'd all kind of meditate together. And then they would ask us to get up and do a walking meditation, and we'd walk through the forest and still staying present, you know, just observing the sort of beauty around you. And then, you know, lunch would come and they would insist that we eat lunch in silence. Okay? And just enjoy the food. Taste the food. And why did they do that? And of course, me being curious, I'm always asking, so why walking meditation? Isn't it more effective sitting down? Why eating meditation? Wouldn't, you know, why? And what they said was, is we want you to be able to take this state of presence into your day-to-day life. So it's not a formal meditation. So you're always present when, whatever you're doing, you're having a meeting, you're doing some research, being present is going to make you more effective. I mean, athletes, imagine a baseball player and the ball's coming at about 95 miles an hour, and it might be a curve, might be a sinker. Who knows? So if you're thinking about the previous time you were at bat or thinking about how you might hit that ball, you're not going to hit it. You have to keep your eye on the ball and be present. And the best hitters can actually see the spin of the ball as it approaches at 95 miles an hour because it creates a slow motion effect. And so meditation is not just about clearing your mind, but it's about being present so that when opportunities arise or problems arise, you're able to use your full faculties to solve a problem instead of, I mean, your thoughts, our thoughts are great sometimes and sometimes they're awful, but in either case, thought is just an approximation of reality.
Okay.
You know, if you're thinking, even a strategic plan is an approximation of reality, right?
That's right.
So,
hey, Paul, two other questions came in. First one is, do you spend time with senior people, setting up a meeting and teaching them how to meditate and think clearly? And the second question is, could you spend a few minutes on breathing? How to breathe?
Yeah, well, when I start people on this, what I have them do, first thing they do, I have them take three deep breaths. Right? Three deep breaths. Now, I work with a Long Beach Fire Department, and of course the paramedics, when they arrive on the scene, generally people are having the worst day of their life, right? And so the first thing they do, particularly if they're panicking, they're unconscious, that's different, but if they're panicking, they have them take three deep breaths. It tends to calm you down. After you've taken those three deep breaths, then I ask people to follow their breathing, to breathe at a normal rate, but just a little bit deeper than normal, maybe 10 or 20% deeper inhale, 10 or 20% deeper exhale. And then just follow the rhythm of their own breath. Be conscious of it. Oxygen, of course, is the key element to life and how it feeds your lungs and how it, you know, creates energy and peace in your mind. And just follow your breath. You don't have to count. You don't have to have a mantra. Just follow your breath. Just be really conscious of how you're breathing. And it's a wonderful feeling. I mean, it's the essence of life. You can live maybe a week or two without food, 3 days without water, but only 3 minutes without oxygen. And so you have people participating in one of the essential practices in life. It's oxygenating their system. And it's simple. I mean, meditation is not complicated. You just sit quietly and take three deep breaths, calm yourself as much as you can, and then follow your breathing. And if the thoughts come up, don't think about them. Just let them go while you're meditating. Right? Now, sometimes the answer comes up, and then I would recommend sort of focusing on that while you're in the sort of state of being in the present and then writing the answer down right afterwards because, you know, we tend to forget. But it's a simple process, just breathing deeply first to interrupt the day's hassles and patterns and then just following your breath and just enjoying the process of breathing in and breathing out. It's amazing what it will do for you.
Can I give an example?
Sure.
So the other week, Ellen, most of you on the line know Ellen Baroka, my wife, but she's also the co-founder of Lighthouse Consulting Services and specializes in data analysis. So she had reached out to Ralph's to do a delivery shopping, and the shopper kept coming back through texting, out of stock, out of stock, out of stock. So I told Ellen, just cancel the order. So I had a choice at that moment. I could either get involved with the fear and engage with it, or do something different. So I chose to take deep breaths and not get engaged with the fear, oh, we're going to run out of toilet paper or whatever it is, whatever. And as I was breathing and the thought calmed down, a thought came very clearly to go to a supermarket that we normally don't go to. So I said, Ellen, let's get in the car, let's go over, because this is the time to do it. We need to do it now. So here's what happened and how right this was. Pull in the parking lot. A car pulls out right in front of the market for us to park. I thought, ooh, good sign. Walk in. There's no lines. Walk around. They had everything that we needed in there. And to top it off, I thank the cashier so much for being there and just showing gratitude. The manager then comes up right behind the cashier and gets on the PA system, thanks everybody for shopping with them, and then on top of it, thanks all of his team members for the hard work they're doing and staying so focused to help the company and to help the clients out. And he got off, and I said, thank you so much for that. That means so much. There was just a big grin on his face, and he said, that means so much. But that all came from not getting engaged with the fear of Ralph's not having anything to offer. And something came so clearly that we acted on it. We didn't just sit with it. We acted on it. And then we saw the manifestation of all these wonderful things take place.
Okay. So here's the thing to think about. Why then does this work, right? So if you study quantum physics, which I've done, and they have proven beyond any doubt that all things are connected. It's like the whole universe and what the world is like a relational grid. And each of us is a different vortex in that relational grid. But everything is connected by a force that is outside of time and space. So it happens instantly, right? Instantly. Just like when you throw a rock into the water, the ripples go out in a concentric circle instantly. There's no delay because the connection of the rock hitting the water and the water responding. Well, the same is true when you are able to clear your mind of all your thoughts and your fears, that, you know, it's not magic. Everything's connected. And if you quiet yourself down, you don't interrupt your perceptual mechanisms with worries, circular thoughts, happy talk, you know, it's just as bad, right? Then things will come to you just like you went to a different grocery store. And it's generally right because of these connective forces that we all are part of. And that might seem far out, but this is science. Everything is connected. If you look at nature, you can see that to be true. If you look at some of the, you know, I grew up we had 500 apple trees, 3.5 acres of grapes, and 10-acre vegetable truck farms type thing. And you really understand how everything's connected, you know, how nature and the way you plant, the way you cultivate, the way you place certain plants in certain locations, like we always had the tomatoes along the creek, which had all this rich black soil. and they tasted great because we were observant of the relationships, the connections that happen. And it's true in life. If you just get all the chatter out of your head, and you just got to recognize that it's just chatter. Honestly, particularly if it's a circular thought, it's just meaningless. All it does is interrupt your perception. Imagine a baseball player at the plate thinking about the last time he struck out while the ball is approaching at 95 miles an hour. He ain't going to hit the ball. Or if he's dreaming about that home run, oh, man, this is my chance to hit a home run. Ball goes past him because his mind wanders from the present. And a lot of people hate sports analogies, but it's a microcosm of performance. And business is a team effort, not only with your team internally, but with your clients' teams and with your vendors' teams. And the more connected you are, your clients, people who follow you in a company, and your vendors who supply support, the more effective you're going to be and the more present you are, you're going to notice things. This would help our clients. Just like you notice, you know, just like magic, you went to a different grocery store. Well, it wasn't magic, right? Because they had everything you wanted. And likewise with your clients. Whenever I have a problem like that, I have a client right now in consumer products business, and they know their sales are going to shrink. Some of the stores they put their products in are closing, like Macy's and Bed Bath and Beyond, and they're closing. What are they going to do? So instead of panicking, if you can get the team to sort of quiet down and do some reflection, they're going to come up with a solution just like you did for the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't emphasize it enough. I know it sounds a little far out, and a lot of your people are, when you say, let's meditate, let's not say that. Let's just say, let's close our eyes and calm down a little bit and see what we can find in terms of solutions. And oftentimes I'll have people close their eyes and take a deep breath and then just kind of calm down a little bit. Then I'll make some suggestions that relate to their business. Well, what about this? How could we handle that? Don't want anybody to answer right now, but just give some thought to this problem we're facing. Right? I did that once years ago for a big phone company, Pacific Telesis. They're in trouble now. But the regulators had gone to, if a line goes down, you have 2 days, then it was a day, then it was 4 hours. And then it went down to like 2 hours. You had to have the phone lines back up in 2 hours. Well, that's virtually impossible. They would have had to buy more trucks and more crews to go out and fix the lines. The cost of it would have been outrageous. And they'd have to put the price up on their phone calls and so on. So that wasn't a real good solution. And they spent most of their time complaining about regulations and the government. And, you know, you couldn't have a conversation about this where they weren't complaining about the government and this and that. And I finally said, look, guys, we all have the same government. We all have to abide by these regulations. Whether you agree with them or not, that's not the point. If you don't, run for office, see what you can do. But right now, we're running a company here, and we need to deal with reality. So how can we solve this problem? And one of the engineers, you know, I had him sitting quietly and in a sort of meditative state and thinking, what could we do? I had the CEO come up with a few key questions to ask. And when we stopped and asked for ideas, one of the engineers said, toggle switch. And of course, everyone in the group knew what a toggle switch was. I'll explain it to you. It's just a switch that you switch on and you switch off. That's a toggle. And in the phone business, if one line doesn't work, it'll toggle over to another line, right? And so they thought, wow, that's internally, right? What if we just had, and they usually had, phone lines have multiple wires inside of them, right? And so they found a way to toggle within their delivery system. If it wasn't working here, it would toggle over to another system and route the call around, the pole that had not been knocked down and so on. So they installed all these switches throughout their network. And, it's rare now that the phones go down. I mean, power goes down, but I can't remember when the phone lines were not working. And they came up with this idea because they sat quietly and reflected, and someone just saw it and said, okay, now there was, work to do to implement toggle switch throughout their network, right? But they actually ended up reducing the amount of trucks they needed, service trucks and so on, because there weren't all these mysterious problems that the consumers were complaining about. It's very practical.
So it all started with the breath and being focused. We're going to open up our line in just a minute so you can talk directly with Paul. But I did want to mention that if you wanted to have Paul on a remote call with just the management team and then later on open it up to the rest of the group for talking about being focused, maybe using other terminology than meditation, but that's certainly acceptable in most organizations, but that's something everybody can make a decision on. On the slide, on the program, you will see Paul's contact information, phone number, and email address. And then we'll be sending out the audio and the one slide to you in the next couple of days so you can share that with others or call Paul. Paul, before we open up the line, any closing thoughts?
Well, I just think you need to treat the shift in the economy and as a result of this pandemic as an opportunity, not something to be afraid of. Things are going to change. Where are the opportunities for our business?
That's good. Thank you. Okay, we're going to open up the line now, and here's what I need to ask everybody to do. Please put your phone on mute. Please do not put your phone on hold, because we'll all get to listen to music, and we don't want to do that. So put your phone on mute, unmute it when you want to talk with Paul. So hold on for 1 second. I'm going to unmute the line here, and we'll have the line open for everybody. So just 1 sec. Okay, the line is now open. We have a few minutes. Any questions for Paul while we have Paul with us at this moment? Everyone's quiet. Everyone's meditating right now.
Yeah, there we go.
they're breathing. Any questions for Paul? Sometimes people ask lots of questions. Other times people are quiet. But Paul, before we close, go through the breathing one more time.
All right. So you start with taking three deep breaths. Take a breath in. Feel your lungs, hold it for a few seconds, and then let it go. Just let it go and exhale. Do that 3 times. And just notice how you calm down, how quiet your mind becomes just from that. Then move to just following your breathing, your normal breathing, and try to deepen the breath, you know, 10 or 15% past your normal cadence. And then just follow that. And just the fact that you're going to deepen your breath or not, and deepen your natural cadence will give you something to focus on. And once you've done that, then you just follow your breathing and things will come to you. The worst case scenario, it's like a mini rest. So it'll help reduce stress. And the best case is you'll come out of that and go, wow, well, I got a great idea here. Let's talk about it. And then if people have also sort of quieted their mind and their thoughts, there'll be less of people trying to be right. But you're in a position now where you're trying to find a solution. And there's no bad solution now. What I do coming out of that is I just have people share any thought that comes to mind, anything, right? It doesn't have to be a complete sentence, doesn't have to be an answer, but, you know, I thought about this. And then have people add to it, you know, that's interesting, let's add this. As opposed to trying to be right, when you quiet people down, they can collaborate together to find a solution. And to me, that's extremely effective way to brainstorm. No notes. Just quiet your mind, see what comes up, and at some point in time, you'll land on something that you want to take action on, like going to Ralph's, right? And then you just take action. But you have to have that quiet time in order to, you know, be open to possibilities you hadn't thought of previously.
That's great. Well, thank you, everybody, for attending Open Line today. We'll be sending the audio out in the next couple of days. If you want to reach Paul, you can, you'll see his phone number and website on and his email address on the slide. Paul, thank you so much for participating and being a part of Open Line. We always love having you on our program. Wish everybody lots of health and stay safe. And next week, again, we have a program on how to manage your remote workforce. So we look forward to having you join us for that. Thank you again. Have a great day. And, Paul, thank you once again, too.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All righty. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.